This is the High Impact Coaching Alliance's Coach for Impact series, featuring interviews and discussions which are designed to help you not only improve, but supercharge your coaching skills. Only at highimpactcoaching.org. And now, here's your host, James Santagata.
Today, we're pleased to welcome again Bill Gluth from billgluth.com. As you may remember, Bill is a business vision mentor, and he's one of the unique people who has the ability to combine the heart of an artist and the soul of a spiritual evolutionist with the energy of business. During our last program, we talked with Bill about what is a business vision mentor, as well as what coaches can do to differentiate themselves in the market. This came under the theme of your talent and vision is the ultimate brand. And today, we'd like to talk about reinventing business and aligning yourself with the new energies of the marketplace. And with that, here's Bill Gluth. Hello, Bill.
Hi, James, and thanks for having me back. It's great to be here with you again.
Great. Nice to have you.
Thank you.
So, Bill, last time we talked, we discussed a bit about talent and vision as the ultimate brand, talked a little bit about your new forthcoming book, Redefining Business for Conscious People. Mm-hmm. Inspired Business Principles for Enlightenedpreneurs, and you explained what that was as well. For those listening, you can also check under the interview archive tab to listen to the last interview we had with Bill. But here, one of the things that came up in the tail end of our discussion last time was this idea that it seems a lot of coaches are just trying to survive. Thrive is a dream, but just surviving. And a lot are following conventional wisdom. And we talked about this, the follow the leader mentality, issues with branding, CRM, that there's so much information and different channels and things flying around that and so many iterations that things are just diluted. And you had suggested, if I remember this correctly, that the market has actually become numb to much of this. And I wondered, is that an accurate portrayal of what you see, or how do you see it, and what's happening? What's changed in the last maybe 2, 3, 4 years?
Well, I'll tell you, James, you're absolutely right. When you say the market has become numb, I think we've all become numb. Think about this for a minute. People on average see about 3,000 to 5,000 marketing messages per day. You know, I mean, think about that, because you look at your phone and your tablet, your computer, and, media that you might consume, and billboards, and all the stuff that flashes in front of your face all day long. Buy me, buy me, buy me, buy me, buy me. We've all become numb because there's just such a huge volume, and it all looks pretty much the same, you see? Mm-hmm. So because things have become, we have become numb, and because we become numb, we start blocking messages, not because we don't want to see it, but because we're overwhelmed. Or we go the other way and go, gosh, I'm missing something. There's something I'm missing. And we start consuming information, all the quote unquote free information out there. We consume mm-hmm. it and we consume it. And the more we consume it, the more confused we get. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, that's, all these factors are happening right now. There's more free events on the internet than any other time that I've seen. So since 2009, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, look at what's happened, the proliferation of social media. Way back in 2004, 5, I remember networks like Rise was a network that was rising. There was another in Europe called Ecademy that was really good, really bright, brilliant people running those things, But who won? Now, of course, we know Facebook and LinkedIn and so on and so forth. But, the number of people that were in social media in those days, it was new. And the number of people who were blogging in those days was like a fraction to what it is today. And now there's millions and billions of people, and everybody's consuming. We're all jumping up and down. Let me have your attention. Let me have your attention. It's free. I'm going to give you something for free. And everybody knows you can't give people something for free and never make any money, because you'll be out of business. You won't be able to do it, but much more than 3, 4, 5, 6 times. But the naive viewpoint is, well, maybe I'm going to learn this one thing and that's it. So we take in more information, more free information. We get confused. We shut down. We don't do anything. And then that makes us numb. And it also takes away our hope. And when hope is removed from the entrepreneur, that's where the surviving mentality comes in. So everybody out there who's feeling like they're just barely surviving, it's only because, quite frankly, if I hope you don't mind me saying it, but they've lost hope. Mm-hmm. So how do we get hope back? And that's mm-hmm. what I hope we can talk about today a little bit.
Okay. So what would you say to the coaches that might say they haven't lost hope, they're just facing reality?
The reality is the world has changed. The energy of business, the energy of the world has changed. All because of the mobile onslaught, the social media onslaught, the content marketing becoming the preferred method, the main method of marketing today. All of those things, you know, have really changed. So, you know, we can't keep embracing old ideas and expect new ideas to emerge from old ideas, because they're old ideas, they're not working anymore. And they're not working not because they're not good, but because the energy of the world and certainly of business has changed.
I see. So how can businesses, coaches, businesses, how do you see them being able to respond, or what can they do perhaps to react to this?
Well, what I've done is I've actually taken it upon myself, and you know, that's what you have to do, is take things upon yourself, you know,
okay.
and redefined business. We can no longer look at marketing and branding and sales and CRM and all that stuff in the same way that we have in the past. It's shifted, it's changed, and because I've been in this field for such a long time in the world of marketing since the late 70s and advertising, moving on to my own business here since 2001, you know, it's so many changes, it's the time. We must redefine and we must do things differently than we have in the past.
What would be some perhaps examples you could share that might be different?
Well, let's think of a few really key ones, I think, that would really, really, I think, I hope, help people really kind of grasp the vision. You know, in our last conversation, which I really enjoyed, by the way, I had a really good time with that.
Sure.
You know, we talked about vision as the ultimate brand. But
yes.
Really, branding now is really not branding anymore. It's not what branding used. Well, you have to have this persona, we have to have this and that, all that. What we have to have as a brand is a true and authentic presence in the marketplace. Mm-hmm. You see, so branding is now redefined as presence. And think about this for a minute. When you're trying to put together a brand, you're working with paper and you're trying to answer questions and figure stuff out in your brain, right?
Mm-hmm.
But presence doesn't live in the brain. You know where it lives?
Where's that?
It lives in the heart.
I see.
It's creativity. See, so we're using branding is a brand, mental exercise that comes from questions and surveys and blah, 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 blah. But the problem we have to solve today is a creative problem. So it comes from the heart. Presence comes from the heart. So who are you as a unique individual? And how would you portray that in the marketplace? You become a presence in the marketplace. What one person, one thought leader that I love, I mean, I love this woman. Her name is Mari Smith. I don't know if you know about Mari.
No, I don't know her.
Facebook, M-A-R-I-S-M-I-T-H. Mari's brilliant with Facebook and all that stuff. Mm. Really good programs. But, you know, she has a true and authentic presence in the marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
And Mari is very, very, very successful. Crazy successful. Everybody be like, gee, I wish I could be Mari. You know?
Right?
I wish I was that successful. But Mari is that successful because I've talked with her. And she's that successful because of her presence in the marketplace.
I see.
And she's a giving, caring person. And she presents that in the marketplace. And guess what happens? People love it. They gravitate to the presence. Now, if Mari was the brand, well, I'm the social media person, I'm the Facebook person, blah, 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 marketing, and this is who I am, yeah, 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 the branding, you know, so what? But this presence, this unique presence is really her. And when you meet her in person, it's really her. You know? And
sure.
We each need to do that. And if you look at any great thought leader, any of them, you know, past and present, they have a definite presence in the marketplace. So this is really researched and built on observations over a number of years, but this is where we're moving branding to. Branding now must become presence.
I see. So given that we're moving from this, if I understand correctly, branding as a mental or cognitive exercise to presence, which is more emotional or heart-based,
and
what are the mechanics of this? I mean, how would someone begin to put this into practice then? Is there any particular steps or methodologies? How would that work?
It's unique to each person because with a creative process, it's unique to each person. But there are specific things that we can look at. See, one of the things that we look at when I work with people, this is something that we look at, is like, who are you really?
I see.
Take away the titles and take away the LMNOPs and XYZs and your name and whatever your titles are. And God bless you. It's great titles. Wonderful. I know you're proud of it. I'm proud of anything I've ever achieved as well. But, after that, who are you? Authentically, who are you? So that's kind of a soul search that we need to look at. That's step one.
Okay, so the baseline is basically getting authenticity or the authentically who you are. Then.
Understanding yourself.
Okay.
Authentically, who are you and how are you?
I see.
Okay? And then we ask the next question, what are you to the people you serve?
Got it.
You see? So who are you, how are you, and what are you to the people you serve? And then one more question that helps with this, why do you do it? See, I'm crazy enough to, I do this because I'm crazy enough to think that I can awaken these enlightenedpreneurs and the conscious business people to truly step up and show a shining example of redefined business and really serve people and thrive versus just survive because they have a whole new kind of hope. So that's why I do it. I'm all into that.
See,
I believe it.
Right. No, that's great. Yes.
So why does that person do it? Why do you do what you do? So when we can answer those questions, suddenly we have a framework now to say, look, this is my presence. And then instead of going on to the, now we move into the marketing question. But, when we get into the marketing phase, which we redefined as well, we're not just typing stuff to try to talk people into crap. Right?
I see.
We're sharing our presence. We're giving our heart. We're giving true value in each and every interaction. So, but without the presence, the next step is flatter than a pancake, flatter than heck, you see?
Got it.
So presence leads to marketing, but marketing has to be redefined as well.
Okay. How do you see marketing? What is your definition or the new definition you're envisioning for that then?
Well, with marketing, I've learned over many years, and certainly since 2010, and certainly since 2012, last year with all the big energy shifts, all the things that reportedly happened, we can't talk people into anything, nor do we want to, because it's really, you don't really get good people when you talk people into stuff. You don't have a lot of fun with that. So instead of talking them in, trying to think of clever slogans and headlines and things like that we can use. Now, I'm not saying don't use keywords and don't use some things that we know work, but I am saying don't write clever headlines that try to fool me to open your email because you're going to kick me off and I'm going to delete you immediately.
Yeah, I hate that.
So instead, take the presence, really understand it, build it from your heart space, not your mind. Can you feel it in the heart with me? And then lift it. And now take it into a conversation we'll call marketing and attract me to you if I like what you have to say.
I see.
See, now Seth Godin, you know who Seth Godin is?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, brilliant man. I love Seth Godin. But
anyway, good stuff.
He wrote the book Purple Cow some years back. And, for me, I love that book. It was like, oh, absolutely, that sounds good. We all want to be cows. Nobody wants to be brown anymore, So that kind of got this sort of thing started some years back. But that whole attraction piece, if you can give me value that I truly see and can understand and get, and you can do that when your presence is such that, okay, this is really this person. I'm connecting here. I dig it. Now we're attracting people who dig it, who like you. They're coming toward you. Now that becomes a whole other paradigm to the next step, which is the dreaded S word, sales, you see? And we can't sell people things anymore either.
Okay.
So to continue on, I guess now we're kind of moving through it here.
Yeah, so then if we we've done the marketing, now we go to sales.
Now we have a scenario where we're going to create the sale. Again, we can't put people into head holds. We can't twist their arm. We can't pull their ear until they scream and give us their money. We can't do that. And we don't have to do it. The only reason we have to do that is because we offer no value that brings people toward us. And we have to try to talk them into something in the Slick Willy salesperson that we've all come to love and know and have in our mind. I don't want to be that person. Oh, selling. Oh, my God, terrible. You know, but what if this? What if you attracted people who were really engaged in your presence and liked what you offered, and you're coming from your heart, so you know you're really personally invested as well? They come toward you, and they go, well, tell me more about that, because that's the magic words of marketing. Tell me more about that. You see, that shows they're, okay, now I'm connecting here. They're getting it, so now they attract toward me. So instead of trying to sell them and present them and these steps and all this crazy questioning and turn it around and ask them this and blah, all this crazy stuff, stop it, everybody, right now. Stop it. Please, for the love of God, stop it. You know, and just basically change your mindset from one of selling and feeling uncomfortable. Let me tell you, what are you going to do about this? And just, you know, inviting people to work with you. I see, and being genuine about it, you know, I see a really good fit here. You know, if you do, if you don't, say, you know, I just don't see the fit, but I do appreciate your interest and, you know, thanks anyway. Let them know.
Sure.
But, you know, bring them toward you and then really serve the people. Here's how I can serve you. Can I invite you in? Can I invite you into my house to have a cup of tea?
Sure.
You see? And it's a whole other thing again, you see? So it's invitation. It's not selling. It's not arm twisting. It's not crazy words that you, sentences you say, oh, you said this and I say that. And then I got to get to the close. You want to hear hard close, James?
Sure.
You know, I really feel I can help you. I didn't like to invite you in to partner with me. Would you like to do that? Now you say no.
No.
Oh, okay. Well, listen, I respect that. I honor you as a person, and I do appreciate you listening. You know, thank you very much.
So what you're saying, that's actually brilliant, Bill. What you're saying is rather than being adversarial or some type of heavy pressure, what we're really doing is looking at this collaboratively.
Exactly. And
there's either a fit and we work together, or there isn't, and I can pass you on to other contacts I may know, or maybe something may change materially in the future. But that's it. You're really working. I guess what you're saying is you're working side by side.
That's right.
To see if these things fit, as opposed to sitting across the table.
That's right.
Trying to play each other for the clothes and the you know, the countermeasure and and this type of thing.
It's crazy. Please, everybody, stop doing that. Please, for the love of God, stop doing it. And the reason you want to stop doing it is it takes us to the next thing of redefining business, which is client relationship management.
Okay, or CRM.
CRM. Exactly. Okay. So imagine this scenario now in our thriving business, coaching business, or whatever service we're in. But for coaches especially, this is so true, you know. Imagine that you've attracted these people and you've invited them in and they've warmly accepted your invitation for dinner for the work, whatever it is you do. And, it, you know, there's different ways of different things of service you probably do. But they've availed themselves to your service, right? Now, your mindset goes from, you know, oh, I got a client, great. Oh, gosh, the client's over with. Oh, my God. Oh, what do I do now? You know, that kind of a thing. What if instead of all of that, right, or instead of some divisive, let me keep emailing you with new offers to see if you're going to buy one from me, something else, instead of that crazy stuff, what if we just looked in our heart again? That damn heart, it keeps popping up. But what if we looked in our heart again, right? And we genuinely cared about this person. We genuinely cared about the outcome and their success. We genuinely, with all of our heart, cared about that person. And we knew it was our obligation and service to them, the people we cared about, our friend, our invited friend who came in, to continuously see if there's ways we can help them. And if there is, offer to help them.
I see.
Well, that sounds pushy. Well, if you really care about somebody, your husband, wife, spouse, partner, whomever, if you really care about them and you see something that you could do for them that would make their life better, mm-hmm. would you not do it?
Right.
This is that same person, except it's your client. And client, by the way, and this is a really brilliant, I've heard this years ago, but it always mm-hmm. stuck with me. Customer, the word customer, means somebody who buys goods and services from another person. Mm-hmm. But the word client, by definition, means somebody who's under the guidance and protection of another. So everybody's your client. You care about them just like you would anybody else who's important in your life, and mm-hmm. and offer to continue to help them, you see?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And so all of that combined can become the new definition of business if we take it out of the headspace, move it mm-hmm. into the creative heart space, and use creativity and use our compassion and use what we are as a human being, and to reach out in caring and to invitation, to attraction, by being authentically who we are in our presence, it's amazing. And then that leads us to being able to find more people through the next part of redefining business, which is mm-hmm. the joint venture, redefining joint venture.
I see.
Through now we've redefined joint venture where other mm-hmm. people come together of common interest to help mm-hmm. one another to collaboration.
I see.
What if all of our competitors could become our collaborators?
Mm-hmm.
How could your business grow then? Well,
right, sure. That'd be great. Yeah, see? Absolutely.
So again, all of these things fitting together. Now our joint venture, our strategic partners become our collaborators who help us in this realm and who we help as well. So it's this big circle. So instead of business being a linear straight line, it's twisted. Nobody saw this. I guess I'm the only one. And it's become a circle. It's a ball.
I see.
It's a ball of potential. And mm-hmm. with our energy and with our creative thought and with our creativity and with our own intentions, we shape that ball of potential into anything we want to be. And I want to suggest that everybody listening to this call decides to take that straight line, make it the ball, just see the straight line in front of you, grab the straight line, twist it with me into a circle, right? Join the circle, and then infuse it with your intention to thrive in the world today.
I see.
So let's thrive instead of survive by redefining business. And if mm-hmm. we do it this way, the whole paradigm changes.
I see.
And so does our results.
Now, what would you say to people who say, this is great, this is sounds congruent, or I understand this? Are there any case studies, or what type of, have you seen any gains or business advantage of people that have gone through this program or training with you?
I have indeed. And since 2001, I've been seeing a consistent 25% to 300% initial growth in a
wow.
business. And it was mm-hmm. within the first year. And then mm-hmm. a 10 to 40% annualized growth rate by continuing to follow what I call creative business strategies.
Okay. And this falls under the creative business strategy?
It does indeed. Mm-hmm.
I see. Okay. So this is one aspect. And what type of people are coming? Are they coaches or are there other consultants? What would be your typical client base that you may have or may serve?
Yeah. It's such a wide variety, but they're all this group, cultural, creative, spiritually, and socially conscious.
I know we talked about this the last program. Could you define that for people
sure.
that may not be aware of that?
It's a group cultural creative was a niche identified in the 1990s. It was a very hot, growing niche, which now, of course, has exploded. But it's defined as group cultural creatives as a niche are defined as spiritually and socially conscious people who are looking to do work that makes a difference in the lives of others.
I see.
And so for me, that, that could be artists, that could be like graphic designers, many, many coaches, business coaches, life coaches, coaches of all different disciplines, people that do services like EFT, emotional freedom technique, and other mm-hmm. services like that, speakers, okay. authors, people like that, mostly people in a conscious people who are in the group cultural creative niche, socially and spiritually conscious, they're looking to make a difference in the lives of others. that are looking to do things differently because what they're doing isn't working and they can't figure out why. They're confused. They're overwhelmed. They don't know why. I can tell them why. It's because they're looking in a little bit different wrong in the wrong direction, in an old direction, and the energy shifted.
That's great. Yeah, no, that's very, very, very impressive. Okay, Bill, actually, we're almost out of time now for this program. Is there any, and by the way, for people listening, we will have all of Bill's contact information and contact details on the website as well. Is there anything else you'd like to add then?
Yeah, let me add one more thing, if I might. And again, I would invite everybody, of course, to come on over and visit and see if what resonates with them. But, you know, the thing about it is that things have changed, whether you change or not. So I would just invite everyone listening to this call to realize, and I think they know if they look in their heart and not their mind, that things have shifted. But yet there is a new light. There is a new way of doing things. And if you just can embrace that, you'll see wonderful new days where you'll hope will spring into your heart again and the energy of thriving will be upon you. And so I'd invite everyone to just embrace that idea and take it with them and see how it feels.
That sounds great, Bill. Great. Well, thank you. So our guest tonight has been Bill Gluth from BillGluth.com. Bill, thank you again for joining our program, and we hope to have you perhaps on our program again in the future.
Happy to do it, James, and thank you so much for inviting me. I enjoyed it.
Great. Thank you, Bill. Okay, bye now.
Thanks for listening. This Coach for Impact program has been a presentation of the High Impact Coaching Alliance. Explore the vast and ever-changing coaching industry from the comfort of your home, office, or even when on the go, while learning about industry trends as well as time-saving shortcuts and best practices from the industry experts themselves. You'll find the Coach for Impact series only at highimpactcoaching.org.